Would you please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We're not going to read this chapter together, but we'll be making constant reference to it, and it would be useful to have the Bible open before you. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. In this chapter, we have the record of the life and work of Uzziah, the king of Judah. We have in this record a very clear example, very sad example, of the peril of spiritual prosperity, the snare of spiritual success. And as we read down through these verses, we find that this man's life falls into three periods. And first of all, there's the period during which he was serving God. We have this in verses 1 to 15. The period in which he was serving God. And this man did render magnificent service to God. Will you notice, first of all, his succession to the service of God? His father Amaziah died, and we read in verse 1, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah." He succeeded his father. But I would like you to notice that this was a succession not only to the throne of Judah, but to the service of God. You'll remember that Israel was a theocracy. God was their king. He covenanted the people to himself at Mount Sinai to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You remember after they entered the promised land, when they came into trouble, they cried to him and he graciously raised up judges, but those judges were not kings. And towards the end of the life of the last of those judges, the people clamored for a king like the other nations. God warned them through Samuel of the burden that it would bring upon them, but they wouldn't be dissuaded. They insisted, and God allowed them to have a king. But it's very important to notice that God did not abdicate. God was still king. And the earthly king was God's servant. And so when Amaziah died, there was, if you like, a vacancy in the ranks of God's servant. And this young man, Uzziah, was called to fill that vacancy. He succeeded. He succeeded to the service of God. My dear Christian friends, isn't that something like what happened to most of us? Perhaps very early after our conversion, there was a gap in the ranks of the servants of God. There was a vacancy in Sunday school, in Bible class, in youth work, in the ministry, in missionary enterprise. And we were called to fill that gap. And we succeeded, godly men and women. We succeeded to the service of God. That's the first thing we notice, his succession to the service of God. And then I want you to notice his seeking God. His seeking God. Verse 5. "He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." In your Revised Standard Version, if you're looking at that version, you'll see that instead of "in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God," we read, "in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God." Zechariah instructed this young man that he must humble himself before God, that he must seek God's help and power. He obviously had great influence upon him. Uzziah was young. He was confronted with a task that was too big for him, too great for him. He was conscious of his need, and he began seeking God, and he continued to seek God. His seeking God. Wonder, my dear Christian friend, as you look back over your life, can you not recall a period when there was, in your Christian experience and service, a simple, straightforward, believing, seeking God? I don't know who it was that may have influenced you. A parent, a Christian friend, a minister, a convention speaker. But there was someone who taught you the value of prayer and exemplified its power, and you began to seek God and you continued to seek Him. Most of you will have heard of the Irish evangelist, the late W.P. Nicholson. On one occasion, Mr. Nicholson had to apologize to his hostess. When he left his room that day after seeking God's blessing, he had to apologize that the sheets on the bed were torn into shreds. This man sought God. He sought with such an agony that he tore the very sheets. You may not have been able to seek God like that, but you can go back to a day when you sought God. Succession to the service of God, you stepped in to fill a gap, seeking God. And then will you notice His strength? We have this in verses 5 to 15. There's not time to go into it in any great detail. Verse 5, God made him to prosper. Verse 7, God helped him. Verse 8 in the Revised Standard Version, he became very strong. Verse 15, he was marvelously helped till he was strong. And if you'll glance through these verses, you'll see that he defeated his enemies. Verse 6, the Philistines. Verse 7, the Arabians. Verse 7, the Mehunim. Verse 8, the Ammonites brought him tribute. Verse 8 still, we are told that his fame spread to the border of Egypt. He defeated his enemies. Verses 9 and 10 tell us that he strengthened his defenses. Verse 9, he strengthened Jerusalem. Verse 10, he strengthened the country districts to protect his cattle rearing and his agriculture. Verses 11 to 15 tell us how he reorganized his army until it became a most efficient striking force. 2,600 heads of families, verse 12. 307,500 soldiers, verse 13. Their equipment, verse 14. Their engines of war, verse 15. He was marvelously helped so that he became strong. This young man stepped into a gap. He stepped in to fill a vacancy. He recognized that he was confronted with a task that was far too great for him, and he began seeking God, and he sought God. And the power of God came down upon his reign. Strength from God. My dear Christian friend, I wonder, can you not recall a day when you knew what it was to experience power from God? Conversions in your family, conversions among your friends, conversions in your work among young folk, conversions in your ministry, conversions in your missionary work. As we read this 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, there's something about it that's reminiscent of the golden days of Solomon. I wonder, was there not about your service at one stage something that was reminiscent of revival days? The period in which he was serving God. His succession to the service of God. His seeking God. His strength from God. And then I want you to notice, secondly, the period during which he was self-willed. This is compressed into verse 16, but surely this process had been going on all along, continuously over a considerable period. And I want you to notice, first of all here, his self-esteem. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up. It takes a steady hand to carry a full cup. Uzziah's cup was very full, and his hand wasn't steady. Do you remember just before the people entered the promised land? Do you remember the warnings of Moses? When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, and thou say in thy heart, My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. There came a moment when Uzziah looked abroad upon the conquest of his enemies. He looked upon his fortifications in city and country. He looked upon his well-equipped army. And he said, My power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this. And his heart was lifted up. Ah, my friend, I wonder, was there a moment like that in your life? You had been seeking God, and God in His wonderful grace had been blessing you. God had been pouring out His power and blessing upon your service. Did there come a moment when you became very conscious of it all? And when you stood back and you surveyed it, you said, My power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this. And your heart was lifted up. There's nothing more tragic than to see a Christian man, a Christian woman, coming to that place where the heart is lifted up. His self-esteem. Then I want you to notice again his self-sufficiency. You look in vain for this to be referred to there in verse 16. It's not explicitly mentioned. But oh, away from the eyes of man to see it was happening. Uzziah, with his heart lifted up, came to the place where he felt that he could manage the work that God had given him in his own strength. He came to a point of self-sufficiency. No longer conscious of his need, no longer with his sense of dependence upon God. Uzziah, I'm quite sure, continued to pray. But oh, his prayer was so empty and so formal. He was no longer seeking God. And Christian friend, that was a turning point. His reliance was no longer upon God, but upon himself. His self-sufficiency. I wonder, as you look back, do you realize that in the quiet places of your life, away from the eyes of men, this subtle change took place. First of all, self-esteem. My power and the might of mine own hand have gotten me this. And then the feeling that you could manage by yourself. Self-sufficiency. Self-esteem. Self-sufficiency. And then his self-will, second part of verse 16, we have it here. He transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. His heart was lifted up, he was self-sufficient. This man was no longer coming in a true and real way to God. He was no longer drawing from God. As a matter of fact, he was by this time out of vital touch with God. And self took control. Have you seen self taking over in a Christian life? Are you aware of self taking over in your life? And this man was proposing to burn incense in the temple of God. He was obviously proposing to add to the position and place of king, the position and place of priest. Of course, that was strictly forbidden. But by this time, self was in control and he was no longer anxious. He was no longer concerned about the will of God. He was concerned only about his own way. And his hand was reaching out to get something more for himself. I wonder, with your heart lifted up and feeling self-sufficient, am I speaking to some Christian friend and your hand is reaching out for place and position to which God has never called you. Self-will. His self-esteem, his self-sufficiency, his self-will. Dr. F.B. Meyer said about D.L. Moody, Moody never seems to have heard about himself. As I was filled with self, I wonder what about you? The period during which he was serving God, and then the period during which he was self-willed. And then we come to a very sad third period. We have this in verses 17 to 21. The period during which he was set aside. It's told of Michelangelo that when he was working on one of his masterpieces, he always affixed a little lamp on the front of his forehead that he might have a direct light falling upon his work. He was afraid lest, if he were depending upon a light from some other source, that light falling upon him might cast his shadow on the masterpiece and spoil it. The shadow of self fell heavily upon the work of Uzziah and spoiled it. I want you to notice three things. First of all, he was rebuked. Verse 17, and Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king, and they said to him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. He was rebuked. But notice how he took the rebuke. Then Uzziah was wroth. The word means he was fuming. I wonder, has a rebuke come to you, my dear Christian friend, about that self that's getting control of your life? And you've resented it. And you've refused it. First of all, he was rebuked. Then he was removed. Verses 19 to 21. Then Uzziah was wroth and had the censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and he dwelt in us. Several house. He was removed. My dear friend, it may be that you're still in God's service, you're still in that post, you're still in that place to which God has called you. But I wonder, is it not true to say that there are some of you who know in your heart that you've been removed from the place of usefulness? Rebuked, removed, and replaced. Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. He had to see another doing the work to which he had been originally called. And oh, I wonder, am I speaking to some here tonight? You've been rebuked. And you haven't been happy to take the rebuke. You've been removed and replaced. God's blessing others. And you're being passed by. The period during which he was serving God, the period during which he was self-willed, the period during which he was set aside. But there's a very sad thing here. Uzziah had a very tragic end. He died still set aside. The last verse of the chapter. Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belongeth to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. They didn't bury him with the kings. They buried him apart. He died, still set aside. The scripture makes it very clear that he needn't have died, still set aside. He might have been restored. I go back in thought to that story of Miriam. You remember how Miriam was, like Uzziah, stricken with leprosy. We read, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth, and they pitched in the wilderness of Paran. She was brought back, and the camp moved on. Certainly, my dear friend, if self has got onto the throne of your life, the Word of God makes it very clear that there is a way of restoration. There is a lovely word that Jesus spoke no less than 3 times. Here it is. Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I think that we have not only there a truth stated in both sides and set together, but I think that the order is important. Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The man who through being lifted up has forfeited the blessing of God may through humbling himself find that blessing again. My dear friend, there's no reason why you should end your service and end your life. Set aside. There's a way back tonight. I think it was Gregory Mantle who first told the story of the Eastern conqueror, Mahmud. And he marched with his all victorious armies and laid siege to a place called Guzarat. And when he had taken that place, he went right into the costliest shrine of the Brahmins. They came and they prostrated themselves before the conqueror, and they pled with him that he wouldn't touch their idol. They offered him an immense ransom if he would just leave this idol where it was. He thought for a moment, and then he said he'd rather be known as the breaker of idols than as the seller of idols. He took his battle axe, and he struck the image. It had been hollow, and countless precious gems had been poured into the hollow image. And when he took his battle axe and struck it and smashed it, all that treasure poured out at his feet. My dear Christian friends, if self were abandoned tonight, if the idol of self were smashed by the grace of God, then I believe the blessing of God would pour out upon many a life and many a piece of Christian service. I wonder, where are you tonight? He had a period during which he was serving God. Are you still there? A period during which he was self-willed. You come there. A period during which he was set aside. Wonder, are you there? Thank God you don't need to stay there tonight. You may, by the grace of God, get back to the place of blessing.